So I think God has a purpose for bringing you here to listen to what I want to share with you, because I'm going to share a part of my story and I'm going to relate God's word tonight that He is going to speak to your hearts. And I hope you will take note, and I hope that you will keep this in mind so that God will continue to powerfully lead you and bless you and guide you. Especially in our lives, we come through certain unexpected situations, disappointments, frustration, times that we never expect. You know, all of a sudden we hear a news and, you know, something happens. I mean, we get into an accident. Or somebody passes away, or we lose a job. There are suddenly situations that come in our life. And as a child of God, how do we react in those times? There are different ways how we can react. But the Lord has taught me personally from in my life many times, and some of them are amazing. So let me bring the story of my personal experience to you so that you'll be blessed by it. So if you all remember, and I've spoken that in the church, on the 18th of October, it was a Wednesday. It was the day when I was supposed to start my orientation as a chaplain intern in the hospital. I was getting myself ready for that, you know, I had to go in the evening. You remember I missed one of the Wednesday meetings, and that was the 18th of October. At 2 o'clock, there was a meeting request from my manager. I didn't even know what's going on. I thought it was basically a one-on-one, because even just the last month, she had applauded me for being a top performer and doing very well. And I even received a gift package when we came from India, how wonderful you have been doing in your work. And I have just crossed 5 years. 15th of October was 5 years in Windstream. And I never saw it coming. At 2 o'clock, she comes into the phone and she says, hey, she did not even speak a word. She said, wait a moment. And then our HR business partner got into the line. And she's the one who told me, hey, Shibu, unfortunately, your position has been eliminated because of a company-wide reduction in force. Your position has been eliminated. And she just told me, and all of a sudden, it was like, I was like stunned. I mean, when you don't expect something, it just slams you on your face. And I was stunned, and I was thinking, what's going on? Because I'm a top performer. I mean, why do I lose my job? But thankfully, you know, God's grace was upon me. I said, okay. I asked them, is there a reason? They said it is only because of cuts in the company. The company wants to tighten the belt, so you are one of the ones. And they took over like more than 350 or so people from our prayer roll on that particular day. And so I was one of them caught in this riff. And after hearing that, I was kind of, for some time, I was stunned, you know, hearing a news like that, because I was doing very well. I was enjoying my work too. And I thought to myself, Lord, what is going on? And just the question, I was not like overly kind of sad or grieving, but I was just questioning, Lord, what is going on? I don't know. I don't understand. And then, you know, that already that evening, my first orientation in the hospital was already planned. So what the orientation was, my first night was, it was a spirituality group that I was part of, a chaplaincy where, you know, with the patients in different units, we were doing a spirituality group. And the chaplain who decided to come and, you know, lead this meeting, I was one of the observers. He brought about He brought about a prayer that he shared with everybody in that room. And that prayer is called the Serenity Prayer. I don't know how many of you have heard about that prayer. I had kind of briefly heard about it one time, but I had never thought about it. But You know what? This was one of the most beautiful prayer in existence. They say, apart from the Bible, apart from the Lord's Prayer, this is one of the most widely known prayers in existence. It was written and published by a person called Reinhold Niebuhr back in 1951. He was the one who wrote this prayer. After that, this prayer has been used by countless people all around the world and has blessed so many. We had three groups in three different units, and each, it was just the same. They were repeating it, and three times as I was sitting, the Holy Spirit started talking to my heart and giving me the assurance about how I should deal with this situation. And so tonight, as I'm saying, I'm bringing the word to you because it is something that has touched me personally. I'm bringing a life application, because once it happens in your case, hopefully you will remember this message that you're hearing from me tonight. Hopefully you will not stop reading the Bible, you will not stop praying, stop going to church. Hopefully you will not do that, because God wanted to teach me something that I wanted to share with you. So let me share with you the Serenity Prayer. That's why I kept the PowerPoint by itself. I did not close it, because I want all of us to read this prayer. And tonight I want to speak on this prayer itself and give some beautiful lessons that the Lord has taught me from this prayer. So this is called the Serenity Prayer. I want you to read through it very carefully, and we will move forward from there. So this is called the Serenity Prayer. A very short prayer, and this is how the prayer goes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. This part of the prayer is what is well known. Everybody, many people know this. But then it continues like this: living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. I want to break down this prayer before you tonight and give you seven beautiful lessons that we can learn from this prayer. It is very deep, so I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, because this is going to help you if you truly take this prayer into heart. So it has basically seven lessons that I take from this prayer. Number one, lesson number one, be content with what you have. Be content. The first part of this prayer, a serenity prayer, reads like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. You know, the word serenity, maybe some of you don't understand. It means to be a calm, peaceful state, untroubled by circumstances around you. You be calm and peaceful, and don't be troubled by the circumstance around you. When I was thinking about this, the picture came about to me about Jesus sleeping on a boat that was tossing up and down. The storms were there, the waves were there, the boat was rocking, the disciples were crying out, the world around was in uproar. But look at Jesus sleeping calmly in that boat. That is what is called the serenity. Because Jesus, in his persona, he had a peace that nobody could take it away. And that is why Jesus told, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be dismayed." Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Be at peace. Let my peace fill your heart. And so, let me tell you for one thing very clearly. There are certain things in life that you cannot change. No matter how much you bang your head against a wall, there are certain things you cannot change. And the peace of God has to fill your hearts, because you have to understand that I cannot do anything about it. It is beyond your ability and beyond your effort. So the prayer says, "Lord God, grant me the serenity, or grant me the peace to accept the things that I cannot change. Grant it to me." Because when we pray, God will grant His peace. Not the peace that the world can give, but God will grant His peace in our life. There are many things that you cannot change. Natural disasters, for example. Or sometimes, people, you cannot change some people, no matter how much. It's like putting a dog's tail in a straight pipe. That tail will never be straight. No matter how many years you put it there, that tail will always come back to the crooked shape. There are some things you cannot change. So that is a prayer that you should make. God, grant me the peace to accept. There has to be an acceptance in our heart. I cannot change this. So Lord, make me at peace about it. And when we cannot change, we have to be content with what we have. Many times we are struggling and looking for things that we don't have, somebody else may have, and we want to get that. But let me tell you honestly, no matter how much we struggle, maybe we will never get hold of that. Maybe you will never be rich like Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. You will never be rich. Maybe you will never be politically strong, or you will not have the mansions or the buildings or the cars of people who have. There are so many rich people who are unbelievers. So if you think about that and you try to compare, you're always troubled because you're always comparing. Or maybe your children may not be as smart as other children. Don't compare them with anybody. Just pray, "Lord, grant me the peace to accept the things that I cannot change." Because one thing I'll tell you, if you really love God, if you are called according to His purpose, nothing can happen without His approval. God knows He has counted the very hairs of our head. Not one hair will fall without His knowledge. He knows the thoughts we think in our hearts, even before we speak. Read Psalms 139. You cannot hide from God. He knows everything. And when things like this happen, we need to be at peace. As we say, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change." Because God is sovereign and He has absolute control over many things in our life. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Not some things, all things work together for our good. Nammada nanmekkive, it's for our good. In other translations, it says God works all things together for our good. And so, Apostle Paul could say in Philippians chapter 4 verse 11, For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Many times we are so troubled over so many things. And I remember Jesus talking to Martha. Martha, Martha, you are so troubled over so many things. Look at Mary. She is sitting at my feet and hearing every word that I speak. Why are you so troubled? You are so stressed out. So the first lesson is, each of us need to be content with what we have and who we are. Let us be content in that. The second lesson that this prayer tells us is we need to be bold and courageous to do the right thing. We need to be bold and courageous. Because the second part of that prayer says, God, grant me the courage to change the things I can. Now let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there are certain things in your life that you can change. You can change. You can change what you do every day from morning to night. You have the time. Some people say, Pastor, I don't have any time. No, you have the time. You have time for everything. It is whatever you like to do, you have time. If somebody has an emergency, you have time to go and sit in an ER for 5-6 hours when you say you have no time for anything else. You make the time for things that are important. We have the time. We have the courage. We need to have the courage. We have to be bold and courageous. So I want to invite every one of you. There are certain things in your life that may be displeasing to God. I don't know, but you know. Things that you are doing that God is not pleased. You need to be courageous and bold to change. That's what God spoke to Joshua. Be bold, be courageous. I want you to lead a people into a strange land that nobody has gone there. Be bold. I am there with you. Be of good courage. Meditate in my word. Do what I'm telling you. Be courageous. I will make you a victor. So we need to be courageous. And we need to be bold and confident that God will give us the ability to change certain things in my life. There are things that is preventing God's touch in your life. There are. You know it in your heart of hearts, but you don't have the courage to change that. You need to these days be bold and courageous. And he's asking, God is saying, change that. Come to my lane so that I can start blessing you for that. You know, we don't have to fear about anything. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us a spirit of power. We have the power in God through the Holy Spirit, who grants us the power to change the things in our life. And so we need to pray, God, grant me the courage to change the things I can. The third lesson from this prayer is that we need to receive wisdom from God. True wisdom is only found in God, not in people. It says, the third part of that prayer says, God, grant me the wisdom to know the difference. What does it mean? We need to be wise enough to know there are things we cannot change and be at peace in that. And then there are things that we can change, and we are bold enough to change those things. And we need the wisdom to know the difference between the two. There are two different things. One we can change, other things we cannot change. We need to have the wisdom from God. Lord, give me the wisdom to change these two things so that I can do what you want me to do. So let me tell you one thing. If there is sin in your life, if you are habitually doing any kind of sin, God is not going to hear your prayer. Because sin will keep us away from God, and God will, you know, keep away if you have sin in our hearts. God will not hear us. So we have to get rid of our sins. Ask God, Lord, I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to make the difference, and give me the wisdom to know what things I can and cannot change. Then comes to the next part of the prayer. The fourth lesson that we can learn is that we should live in the moment. I've heard people saying, oh, 10 years ago I was doing this and doing that. Or maybe in the future I'm going to do this. But let me tell you, yesterdays are gone. There is nothing you can do about it. Tomorrows are not in our hands. We don't even know if we are going to face tomorrow. We only have today, and we have to live one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. We have to live at the present. Why? Because we serve a God of the present. You remember when Moses asked God at the burning bush, what can I tell others your name? He said, I am that I am. He is the I am, the God of the present. In today's Bible meditation towards the end, they asked Jesus, you know, how do you know? Were you there before Abraham? Jesus said, yes, you truly say I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus introduced him as the God of Moses, who identified himself as I am. God is a God of the present. We only have now that we can do something about it, and we need to live one day at a time. Many times we want to plan ahead, we want to think about, but the question is, what are we doing right now at this point of time? If you miss out the moment, you will never get it back. Those days are gone. There are so many things that we have missed, and I want to basically bring before you a story. It's not a story, it's a poem. It's called Cats in the Cradle. I want to read out to you. Maybe when I read, you understand what I'm saying. We miss out the moments because we don't give time to our present. We are always talking and doing things for our future or thinking about our past. It's called Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. Let me read it to you slowly that you will understand. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he would say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we will get together then. You know we will have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. I said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know that I'm going to be like him. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we will get together then. You know we will have a good time then. When he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I am proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and they said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we will get together then, Dad. You know we will have a good time then. I have long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and my kids have the flu. But it seems nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he has grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we will get together then, Dad. We are gonna have a good time then. You know, I hope you understand that this is a song of a dad. So involved in other activities, no time to be with his child. When they are young, no time to train and do the little things. And when he's old, we want to be him coming near, but he has his own work to do. Don't miss out the moments that you have every moment. That is why Jesus said, don't be, in Matthew 6:34, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient is the day with its trouble. Let us live for that particular moment. Do what is right in God's sight. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And live a life to please him. Let me quickly go to lesson number 5, which I would say, let God's will be done. Because the next part of the prayer reads like this. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking as he did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. You know, when there are hardships that come in our life, God has a greater plan through those hardships. God is not surprised. But these hardships should be a pathway to peace. There is a peace that passes all understanding. That is the calm of the God's Almighty that he pours in our heart. When we put our trust in God, we experience that peace. We know that our faith is growing in God. We can rely completely on a God who takes care of everything. So let me tell you, when hardships come in your life, embrace it. Just like Jesus did, he was not afraid. He stood up and said, peace be still. Everything became calm. When we trust in the Lord, he will bring that peace in your heart so that you don't have to be troubled like your circumstances around you. God has ordained your situations. He knows your yesterdays, he knows your today, and he knows your tomorrows. So don't worry about whatever it is. So as we read the beautiful verse in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious over anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when we are troubled, just bring them to God, lay the burden onto him, ask him to carry, and God will fill our hearts with his peace. Lesson number 6. I'm coming to the end of this prayer. Trust in a God who restores us. See, the prayer reads like this. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. We need to surrender to the will of God and trust him, because he will do everything right. He does everything beautiful in his time. So let God take the driver's seat. Allow him to lead you where, and he will do something beautiful. The beautiful Psalms 23 verse 3 says, God, he that is God, restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God will restore us. He will lead us in the path of righteousness. We don't have to be troubled over things. And Romans 5:1 says, we have been made right or justified by faith. And we have peace with God. So he will bring that peace in your heart, in our hearts. Finally, let me quickly finish it with lesson number 7. Rejoice always, hoping in God. The last part of the prayer says, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. We have to be happy because there is joy in the presence of God. You know, Psalm 16, the last verse says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. When we experience God every moment in our life, we will be happy, we'll be joyous. And that is the joy we are going to experience one day when we are in his presence, when we will experience the fullness of joy. Whatever we have, the good things that come, rejoice in that. Be happy. Don't think about the negatives. Think about the good things that God does. Let your cup be half full, not half empty. Count your blessings and name them one by one, and you will see what God has done for you. Ecclesiastes 3:12 says, I know there is nothing better than to rejoice and to do good in our lives. We need to rejoice because God gives us beautiful things and situations. A baby born, a child graduates, they do something wonderful. Rejoice, be happy, because God is the one who brings good things in our life. Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, always be rejoicing. And that is what God wants us to do. So imagine if you are able to rejoice here, how much more joy it is when we meet Him face to face in heaven. What a great day of rejoicing that will be when we meet Him in face to face. We spend eternity with Him. So this is my closing time. I want to tell you this. If you can take this prayer and meditate on that, sincerely pray. This is the answer that you may be looking for. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So much of wisdom in this prayer. I hope you have been blessed. May God bless you as you make this in your life. This is the Christian life. Our life is an abundant life, what that Jesus gave. Many times our mouth opens and we are troubled and despairing. Brothers and sisters, this is not the life that Christ has given us. We are doing a disservice. We are actually throwing something at His face when we are troubled and discouraged and stressed out and rebellious. God wants us to be at peace, knowing that He is in control over our lives. May God bless you with this word.